I think I'll have to say this to start the message off. I was thinking a while ago about the men on this platform. You know, we love each other. Really, we do. There is a sweet, wonderful relationship with the men on this platform. Brother Bordway, as a layman here in our church, leads the choir. We pay him part-time, 49 cents a month he gets, and he leads the choir. Dr. Evans is the executive vice president of Hiles Anderson College, a sweet-spirited, wonderful Christian gentleman, does a splendid job in our school. Mr. Vineyard is, well, he's known now across America as America's foremost bus man. And boy, he's worked, honestly, he works day and night. And a great deal of all of the credit for what God is doing here goes to Jim Vineyard. And God bless him. And then, of course, John Colston. John is, Brother Colston is, I guess, one of the most beloved men in our church. His job is the follow-up work and the work with those who are sick. He has one of the finest ways in the hospital. I mean, he just goes in the hospital room and crawls in the bed next to the patient. And I don't mean in the same bed. I mean in the bed, the other bed. And he just lays there and goes to sleep. They just feel like he's one of them. But honestly, he's... Our people love him, and he does a splendid job. He's perfectly cast for his task. And Dr. Billings, God bless him, he's been such a blessing to so many. One of the hardest working men that ever lived, president of our college, and heads up our school ministry here, works day and night, literally day and night. I don't know how he does it. And Brother Sully is one of our new men. Brother Sullivan was a bartender for 20 years. Came to our rescue mission one day, was saved in the rescue mission, and life has been completely changed. And he became a custodian here, but he could only sweep with one hand, so he decided to go into some other work. And the rescue mission in Gary hired him to be the superintendent. He went on to Lansing, Michigan, was superintendent there. And when our mission job was open, he came back to head up all our benevolent work and our mission work. And wonderful testimony. And Brother, I'm going to get Brother Fisk, get Brother Helton. I'll skip Brother Fisk because I don't know anything good about him. But Brother Helton, one of the greatest days in the life of our church was when Max Helton came to help as the dean of students at Hiles Anderson College. And he's one of those people, like all of our men, who's servants. He's a servant. Now, all of that to say, Brother C.W. Fisk, Brother Fisk, one of the great soul winners in America, rapidly becoming known as one of the greatest soul winners, if not the greatest soul winner in America. Never a Sunday here, folks. Never a Sunday. What Brother Fisk has folks ready to walk this aisle. Usually it's a half a dozen or more. He's out all the time doing soul winning. He came to our church how many years ago? 13? 12 years ago. Came to our church, a lost sinner. He said, I don't believe in having contest. Well, if we hadn't had contest, he never would have come. He came in a contest. Brother Perky, one of our deacons at the time, brought Brother Fisk in a contest. After the service, in the old building over here that burned, Brother Fisk took off toward the back, and somebody said, how you like the preacher? He said, I don't like him. And so, to be quite frank with you, I was surprised the next Sunday when he came back. Somebody asked him why he came back the next Sunday, because he didn't like the preacher. And he said something like this. He'll correct me if this is not exactly true. Something like this. He said, I didn't like the preacher. But he said the preacher, before I left that morning, put his hand in mine. And he said, Mr. Fisk, I love you. He said, I like that. And what his preaching couldn't do, his love did. He came the next Sunday, walked the aisle, professed his faith in Christ the next Sunday. He's become one of the great soul winners anywhere in the whole world. Why? Because he didn't like the preacher's preaching, but he liked the preacher's love. The greatest of these is love. Aesop's fables is still true. When the sun and the wind argued over who could cause the man to take off his coat, the wind howled and the man pulled his coat around his breast, and the sun shone with its warm rays, and the man took off his coat. What sometimes the wind can't do, the sun can do. What sometimes the storm can't do and the fire can't do, the still small voice can do. And what love, what many things cannot do, love can do for the greatest of these is love. Now about faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The word greatest is a very interesting word. It does not mean necessarily that love is greater than faith and love is greater than hope. It is a word that is used other times in the Bible concerning from the smallest to the greatest. What you might put it this way, and now about faith, hope, love, these three. But all of these is love. Or you might put it this way, and now about faith, hope, love, these three. But one and all are love. Or you might put it this way, and now about faith, hope, love, these three. But the thing that holds all of them together is love. Actually, what it amounts to, here's faith, here's hope, and here is love. For true faith must be accompanied by love. And true hope must be accompanied by love. Where there's no hope, there's no love. Where there's no faith, there's no love. Where there's no love, there's no hope. Where there's no love, there's no faith. For all of these is bathed in love. And now about it, faith, hope, love, these three. But all of these are washed or bathed or held together or connected by love. Love is greater than all of them put together, so great that it is a circumference that goes around all of these, faith, hope, love, these three. The Bible says three things that God is. In John 4:24, it says God is spirit. In 1 John 1:5, it says God is light. And in 1 John 4:8, it says God is love. God is not love until God is spirit. God is not love until God is light. God's love is based on God's righteousness. There's no love if there's no righteousness. Love does not say, don't defend your country. Love says, defend your country. Love does not say, destroy capital punishment. Love says, take God's word and have capital punishment. Love does not say, be a pacifist. Love is not love unless it's first based on light. God is spirit. That means he is a spirit. God is light. That means that God, who divides the light from the darkness, His love is built first on the fact that He's Spirit, second on the fact that He's light. And then God is love. Now, why is love the greatest of these? This is a very simple little message, nothing profound, and I make no attempt at all. You know, Dr. Bill Harvey said one time, he worked with me 2 years, somebody asked Bill Harvey, said, what kind of preacher is Jack, week after week after week? And Bill Harvey said that the ministry of Jack Hiles is built on the repetition of the obvious. Repetition of the obvious. We don't try to bring any new things out to our people. We try to bring the old things over and over and over again. Soul winning and prayer and walking with God and living a clean life and giving everything to God and having the love of Christ in your soul. We just beat on these things over and over and over and over and over again. My mother said to me, son, eat your carrots. And a lot of you mothers would be a lot better off than you say one day, eat your pizza, eat your casserole, eat your Fritos, eat all the rest of that junk. Mother just said the same old stuff over and over again. Eat your spinach! You used to take Popeye spinach. Anybody remember Popeye spinach, huh? You poor young whippersnappers don't know a thing about it. Did you know you eat one can of Popeye spinach, you knock a man over the moon. Just hit him, knock him over the moon. I'd look there and watch Popeye, and boy, he'd eat that spinach, and all of a sudden, His muscle just like that, just pop up, just like mine is right now. Where? And pop up there. Mom says, ain't you spinning? God's people don't need lasagna. I'm talking about spiritual lasagna and spiritual pizza and spiritual enchiladas. God's people need spiritual spinach and spiritual carrots and spiritual meat and spiritual milk. I mean, we need a bunch of Christians that don't worry so much about what the third toe on the beast means. And what the nail on the toe stands for. And what the polish on the nail stands for. And what the brand of polish stands for. God's people need to be taught to live for God. I mean to walk with God and live different and be separate from the world and love the Bible and hang on to God in prayer and love each other and go out and win souls and get back to old-fashioned, basic, fundamental New Testament Christianity. All over Chicago tonight, you got Christians gathering around the Word. Both of them. Now, I believe in gathering around the Word between visits. Between visits. This matter of worshiping of studying the Bible like it's a trigonometry book. Study like it's a love story and say, blessed be God, the Bible's so down in Mansfield, Louisiana. There's a colored preacher down there on the street one day, and he'd just open his Bible, and he'd say, find a Bible in a psalm here, and said, "Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, woo! And thou hast withholden bread from the hoo!" He'd just read a verse and holler. And then he got down, and he hollered real loud, and then all of a sudden he said, "Oh, they say you've got to get boned again." He said, "If you're white, you've got to get boned again. If you're black, you've got to get boned again. I don't care if you're maroon, you've got to get boned again." You know, the honest truth is, our people, fundamental people in America, need to get back to some basic principles, and one of them is just loving each other. To save my life, I cannot understand the critical natures that we fundamentalists have one for the other. I mean, just sitting around McDonald's and talking about everybody you can think about. Nothing wrong with sitting around McDonald's, as long as you don't order coffee, but take your own carrot juice with you, but sitting around just talking about each other. One reason you preachers have people that criticize you is because you criticize other preachers, and God's given you that kind of people. There needs to be a revival in America among God's people of old-fashioned, basic Christian love. The greatest of these is love. Why is love the greatest? Love is the greatest because it's the only one of these three that's eternal. The day will come when faith shall be lost in sight and hope shall be lost in attainment, but love will never, never, never be lost. When faith is not faith anymore because we can see Him face to face and the last darkness has been removed and we do not see through a haze, but see Him as He is, there'll be no need for faith, but love will still be there. There'll be no need for hope when our hope has been realized in attainment and we shall see Him and the blessed hope has become a reality. When faith is faith no more and hope is hope no more, love will still be love. We'll love Him when we won't have a blessed hope anymore because we're with Him and still love Him. Love is the greatest because it's eternal. But there's another thing about love. Love is the greatest of these because it is the only one that's for others. Faith saves us. Hope cheers us. Love sends us to help others. Faith is for me. By faith, it's for me. Hope is for me. The blessed hope. I want to see Him someday. But love is what sends us to serve others. I ran across a Greek word not long ago, and I've forgotten what it was. And I'm not a Greek scholar anyway. I've forgotten what it was. But it was a special Greek word that was for the world's joy. And I found out that this Greek word, talking about the joy of the world, means malignant joy. Malignant joy. It's cancerous joy. The man who walked down to this tavern last night on the corner and he had a big time. I saw a couple of young females, start to say ladies. Females walking, running out. I was driving home last night about 11:15 in the church and saw a couple of young women running out of the tavern down here. And they were hollering and screaming and they called it joy. The Bible said it's malignant joy. That's cancerous. Oh yeah, it's okay now, but it's going to bring you death after a while. The people that took narcotics last night and went to nightclubs and country clubs and sipped the cocktails and went to dances and had a big time and lived it up. Enjoy yourself because that's malignant joy, the Bible says. It's cancerous joy. But love cheers others with real, honest joy. I'll never forget it. Our people have heard it. They'll hear it 10,000 times more. I'll never forget that morning that Mother took me to a city Sunday school, Baptist Sunday school, for the first time. My mother was a Methodist when she was a young lady. She was a Methodist when I was born. My first time as a little boy, when Sunday school was a baby, was a Methodist Sunday school. And something happened to Mother one day. She found a Bible. And she began to read it, and that took care of her. She joined a Baptist church. But I'm just kidding, of course. Mother still doesn't have a Bible. But anyway, we walked 2 miles down Ann Arbor Street from out in the country, down an old dusty country trail. You talk about the Beverly Hillbillies. The Beverly Hillbillies are Harvard graduates compared to the way we were. We walked in that little city church, Fernwood Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. I looked at that big auditorium, biggest thing I'd ever seen. I thought that's where the world must have held its convention. And I looked at, must have seated 400 people. I walked in, I was barefooted, and didn't have had a pair of khaki trousers on, and a little white T-shirt, and had a pair of khaki trousers. The knees were patched. And Mother and I stood there waiting for someone to come to see us. And a little lady walked up, and she said, "Hello there." She said, "What is your name?" And my mother said, "My name is Coystal Mattie Hiles." What a name. What a name. Coystal Mattie Hiles. They wanted a boy and just got mad and named her the worst thing they could think of. And my name is Coystal Mattie Hiles. No, Mrs. Hiles. And she said, "And what's your name?" And I was 5. And I said, "My name is Jack." And she said, "Jack." She said, "You're a fine-looking little boy." I looked up and I was scared to death. And she said, "Jack, could I call you Jackie Boy?" And I said, she said, "You come with me because I'm the beginner superintendent. God bless these beginner workers. And I'm the beginner superintendent." You see, they never see the fruit of their labors. They never see one of theirs called to preach, and very few ever get saved at that age. They have to just place the seed, and out yonder somewhere else, somebody else sees the fruit of their labors. And she took me to the beginner department. I can still see it. The auditorium was faced that way, and we walked down down to the altar, and this way, and there was a door going back to the back. The educational building was back behind the pulpit. And we stopped at the first room on the right, a little beginner room. And a bunch of pretty little boys and girls. All little boys had on white shirts and ties. And all the little girls had on pretty little clothes. And Mrs. Bethel took me in. And the boys and girls looked at my face, but then suddenly they went down to my toes and saw my bare feet. And Mrs. Bethel set me on her knee. And she said, "Boys and girls, we have a visitor this morning. His name is Jackie Boy Hiles." And they looked at my feet. They wouldn't have known me. If they looked at my face the next day on the street, they wouldn't know me. I'd have to take off my shoes before they recognized me. And so they looked at me. They looked at my feet, and she said, "Boys and girls," said Jackie Boy, had me on her knees, said, "Jackie Boy's here. Never was a poor kid. I mean it. We didn't hardly have enough to eat. My mother had to pray down us food to eat. Dad was a drunkard, and we didn't have anything, hardly." And Mrs. Bethel said, "Boys and girls, are we glad to have Jackie Ball with us this morning?" And not a word was said. Nobody said yes. And Mrs. Bethel pulled me close to her breast, and she said, "Jackie Boy, do you know that Jesus loves you?" And I was overcome. My mother had told me that, but nobody else ever had. And I was overcome. And I lost my timidity and looked up at Mrs. Bethel. And I said, "Mrs. Bethel, does he love me as much as he loves the little boys that have on shoes?" And she hugged me to her bosom, and she said, with a tear dropping on my little head, she said, "Jackie Boy, he probably loves you more than he loves anybody in this room this morning." And boy, going out at the old dusty trail to our little house out in the country, little two-room shack. I mean, two rooms. A place to sleep and a place to eat. And 50 feet out in the backyard is another building. I looked up at my mother and I said, "Mama, guess what?" Mama said, "What?" I said, "Jesus loved me more than loves anybody in that class this morning." I couldn't get over it, and I still haven't gotten over it. I was preaching down in Dallas, Texas several years ago, young people. I was preaching down in Dallas, Texas several years ago. After I finished preaching, a great crowd of people, building was overflowing. I talked to a bunch of folks that came to shake my hand. And back in the back, facing this, back on that side, over the left side, our auditorium faced this way, and his back over there. A little lady was waiting back there. She's up in years. I said, nobody was there but the pastor and me and the custodian. And I said, "Pastor, the lady waiting for you." She said, "No, I'd like to see Dr. Hiles, please." And so I went back and I said, "I'm Dr. Hiles." And she had a handkerchief in her hand, and she had tears rolling down her cheeks. And she said, "I think you know me." She said, "My name is Bethel." And I said, "Mrs. Bethel, 35 years ago then, I was 40 then, 35 years ago, you set me on your knee, a little barefooted boy in a Sunday school class, and told me Jesus loves me. And I said, I've been going across this country all these years telling people exactly what you told me. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Greatest of these because it cheers others." Something else about that. Love is the greatest of these because love is the greatest aid to winning others or saving others. Oh, I believe in hell. I believe in fighting the devil and stomping and hollering and preaching hellfire and brimstone. But I don't believe in it without a tear in your eye. I don't believe you ought to ever be glad there's a hell. I think you ought to be brokenhearted every time you preach about it. But there's nothing that'll constrain people to be saved like love? Nothing at all. I was in college. But a carload of preachers, preacher boys, drove from East Texas Baptist College to Tyler, Texas, to a tuberculosis sanatorium. And back in the days when tuberculosis was treacherous, and we drove. And so we were coming back, and one of the fellows said, "There's a hitchhiker. Let's pick him up." Picked up the hitchhiker. I was sitting in the back seat. Hitchhiker reached in his pocket, pulled out a gun, pointed at the driver's head. He said, "I'm going to kill all of you." And the driver said, "Okay, go ahead." But he said, "Before you kill us, I want to tell you something. I love you. I love you." And the hitchhiker began to cry, and he said, "You love me? I'm about to kill you. You love me?" "Yes, I love you, and I'm going to tell you about Jesus and try to get you saved." And he said, "If you kill me, go ahead, but I'm going to die telling you about Jesus." And the hitchhiker put his gun down, began to cry, and was sweetly converted. Let me tell you a story you'll never forget. Listen to this. What night was this? Day before yesterday was Friday. Friday morning, during the night. Listen to this. Don't miss this. A man, live in Cherville. You'll never forget this. A man who lives in Cherville near our college sized up the cars on our parking lot at Howes Anderson College and picked out the one he was going to steal. He found the car he wanted. He went down, got in the car, tried to start it, but the battery was dead. That's one good thing about being poor. I mean, nobody can steal your car. And the battery was dead. But the fellow wanted that car. He had spotted that car. That's the one he was going to steal. Went back home and got a battery and a cable and came back to start the car. And while was putting the other battery in the cable, two of our college students saw him. They're walking patrol. They saw him. "Clarence Winkler, where are you, Clarence?" "Where?" "There he is in the balcony. Clarence Winkler, God bless him." He saw the fellow. Took off after him. Fellow ran and jumped across the Jordan River. He took his mantle out and parted the Jordan River. We have a little creek out on the college campus we call the Jordan River. It's just a muddy hole is what it is. He crossed the Jordan River, went down to Jericho, and Clarence caught him. And they had a fight. Fellow tried to steal the car. They had a fight. Clarence finally prevailed and had another fellow to help him and prevailed. They got the guy, they took him to the police station, but Cherville's a little town. The police station was closed for the night. Sorry about that, kid, nobody's at the police station, no joke. And so they decided to bring him back to the college. And he tried, and suddenly he broke and ran away again. Clarence caught him. And Clarence got him, and that time he let him have it good and hard and beat him up. He brought him back about 2:30 in the morning, Mr. Helton's office. Mr. Helton sat down across the desk from him. And there's a fellow who's going to steal the car. Had it all set up. Mr. Helton looked at him and said, "We at Howes Anderson love you. We love you. And I'm going to tell you about story of Christ and His love." And the fellow began to cry, got beside himself with tears. And 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning, he was saved. He's in the service tonight. Amen. He's going to walk the aisle in a few minutes. That's what love will do. And by the way, wherever you are tonight, fellow, wherever you are, we love you just as much as if you'd given us a new car. We love you. The greatest of these is love. It cheers others. It converts others. It's the thing. In our Sunday school over here, we have a bunch of hoodlums come. And we have about 3 riots a week is all. With all these bus kids coming from Chicago. And the other day, Mr. Helton tried to get a little teenage girl and hold her. And she was throwing a fit. And she decided to take a bite out of his hand. And she bit his hand. Had to have rabies shots, didn't you? And she bit his hand. And David grabbed her and tried to calm her down. And she clawed David's hand, and blood began to come. And David said, "Oh, look what you did. I could call the police." I'm not going to call him because I love you too much." She was stilled and quietened. I'm simply saying, 'tis love is the greatest of these. 'Tis love that cheers others. 'Tis love that converts others. 'Tis love that strengthens others. Elizabeth Barrett Browning was an invalid. She could not walk or talk. She could not even lift up her head from bed. Robert Browning came in one day and she fell in love with him. And suddenly, on his first visit, she lifted her head up in bed for the first time in months. On his second visit, she sat up in bed. On his third visit, she eloped with him and they married each other. There's something strengthening about love. And love strengthens others. Charles Sumner, who was a senator back in 1861, was murdered on the floor, almost murdered on the floor of the Senate. Charles Sumner said, somebody asked him, "What did you think about when you were near death?" And Sumner said, "The thing I thought about the most, I had lived, I had died, and nobody had ever said, I love you, Charles." Listen, there are tens of thousands of people that live within 15 or 20 miles of where I'm standing right now that never hear the words, "I love you." Many of them, if they could hear the words that C.W. Fisk heard the first Sunday morning, he came to this church, would trust the Savior he trusted. Somebody's got to care for them. Somebody's got to love them. Why is love the greatest? Love is the greatest because it's infinite. Infinite. God so loved. How much did he love? So loved. How do you measure it? No way to measure it. He so loved. How much did he love? He so loved. How big? So big. How great? So great. It's infinite. Ephesians 3:19 says, "The love of Christ passeth all knowledge." Why is love the greatest of these? Because love is uninfluenced. I can't even tell you. I can't even begin to tell you this story. Someday, you're going to hear the most amazing story you've ever heard in your life. I won't even give you a hint this evening. There was a person saved in this church. One to Christ, one of our ladies. I talked with her this week. You'll never believe it. Absolutely. When you hear this story, you'll feel like you're in another world somewhere. You'll think you're cracking up. And this lady that got saved told the story to the lady who had won her. An awful story about sin and tragedy and heartbreak. She said, "I thought this lady would hate me. She won me to Christ. I thought she'd hate me. But after I told her the story and trembled, afraid she'd hate me, she looked at me and said, 'I love you more now than I ever did.'" Love is uninfluenced. Love is the fuel for everything else in the Christian life. Jesus said to Peter, "Lovest thou me? Then feed my sheep." If you're going to feed the sheep, you do it because you love. God so loved that he gave. Love is the great prompter for giving. If you love me, keep my commandments. Love is the great prompter for commandment keeping and soul winning. Love of Christ constraineth us or pushes us forward to serve our Lord. Why is love the greatest? Because it holds all this together. You know, I was thinking tonight, just last night, and tonight and today, about the love we have at this church. Yeah, visitors, if you can't feel it, there's something wrong with your feeler. There's a sweet, sweet spirit here. It's always this way. This is no special day for us. It's always this way. I began to relive the last few days. Last night, a man came to my office. He'd been away from the church for a while. He's here tonight, been back for some time, but he'd been out in sin for some while in backslidden condition for a while and came back to the church. Last night when he left, he took my hand and said, "Preacher, I never did stop loving you. I never did stop loving you." My office tonight, with a week ahead and the burden and the concern for a whole nation, somebody slipped a note under my door. He's on the platform tonight. Slipped a sweet note under the door and said, "Preacher, I love you. You carry a heavy load. Take care of yourself. We need you. I love you." Oh, there's something about that makes you want to fight harder. There's something about that makes you want to stay in the battle for God. It holds all else together. Our people know the story of the little girl. I told the story the Sunday before my birthday. I was out at the shopping center in Munster. And a family of five, three teenagers, mother and father, walked by me, and one of the teenage girls asked the mother, said, "Mama, who's he?" Said, "Is he the football coach at Gavitt High School?" No, I'm not the football coach. I'm not moonlighting. I work at the steel mills at night, but not a football coach. And so I steal from the mills. at night. And she said, no, he's pastor of First Baptist Church. And they began to laugh. Ha, 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 hey! And the teenage girl walked, a big, tall girl, taller than I am, walked up and she said, hey, so you're Jack Hiles, huh? I said, yes, I'm Brother Hiles. She said, watch what I can do. And she spit in my face. And then a big old boy, bigger than she was, said, I got better aim than you. I can hit him right in the nose. And he spit, and he did have a better aim than she did. He hit me right in the nose. And the third one did the same thing while the parents laughed. And I told that story the next Sunday morning. And when I finished telling it, I went over to my office, and a little bus kid came over. And that little bus kid began to cry. And she said, Brother Hiles, I love you. And that broke my heart. That broke my heart when you told about those people spitting in your face. Broke my heart, too. And she said, Brother Hiles, I love you. She said, everybody ought to love you. I can't understand why anybody wouldn't love you. I can't either. And she said, Brother Hiles, I got you something for your birthday. And she handed me, she knows I love health food. She handed me a health food candy bar she had bought with her own money. And it was wrapped up. But it had been unwrapped, and one bite had been taken out of one corner and wrapped back up and placed. And so I got most of it. And I was thinking, you know, that's the kind of, that's what makes a pastor's job worthwhile. Tonight I went to my office after a while, and I saw beside the door somebody placed me a bouquet of flowers they'd made for me. And they wanted to brighten my week with all the burden and load of pastor's school. Oh, the love of Christ, the love of Christ. I got a card the other day. It said, Dear Brother Hiles, XXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXXX to sign one of our little girls. She's 18. And, no, she's not either. She's about 8. Signed one of our little girls. All the sweet Valentines. I got a little girl came to my study last summer, I think it was. Her father said, it was on Sunday night. The next morning, at 4 o'clock, the kids were going to leave to go to camp. And she had signed up, was all registered to go to camp. But she wouldn't go. And she was crying and crying and crying. And the father said, why don't you want to go? I don't want to go. Well, why? I didn't want to go. Well, let's go see where the Hiles. They came to my office. Little girl, precious little girl. The father said, Brother Hiles, she won't go to camp. Tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock or so, she's supposed to leave. She won't go. She's throwing a fit. All day it's been this way. Crying all day. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And I said, well, sweetheart, what's wrong? Are you afraid to go? She said, no, sir. I said, sweetheart, are you afraid to be away from Mom and Daddy at night? She said, no, sir. And I said, are you afraid of the long trip? No, sir. Well, I said, why don't you want to go? Her little heart pulled. And she ran over to me and put her arms around me, and tears literally dropped on my shoulder by the dozens. As she said, Brother Hyde, I don't want to leave you. That's why I don't want to go. And I loved her, and she loved me. Oh, let me tell you, this whole world needs a baptism of the love of Christ. This whole world, God's people need to have the greatest of these. And we need to love each other with the greatest of these. And love sinners with the greatest of these. And love the downtrodden with the greatest of these. And love the poor bus kids with the greatest of these. And feel toward the down and out, the drunkard, the harlot with the greatest of these. We need to have a baptism of love, one for the other and for God's people. Little lady sat up here one Sunday morning in a very, very well-to-do clothing. She raised her hand for prayer. She came right down that aisle over there, down those steps, down the center aisle, met me right here. And I said, do you want to be saved? She did like this. I said, do you want to trust Jesus as your Savior? She did like that. I said, lady, do you want to be saved? And she said, by the way, Rose O'Brien, is she here tonight? Do you know? She's not here. And where is she? Where is that lady? Oh, raise your hand up if she can understand me. Gusta la mesa, hasta la gusta. Raise your hand up. Ms. Gonzalez, where are you? In the back. There you are. Are you the one that came down? Okay, thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. I want you to see these people. And she said something about like this. No hablo inglés. And I said, well, hablo español. Estudio español 2 años en escuela. Pero mi español es muy mal. No es verdad? That means that I studied Spanish 2 years in school. My Spanish is real lousy. And she said something in Spanish that meant, yeah, it is lousy. And but anyway, if the story goes on. We ask her why she could understand what I said. This is true, isn't it? Oh, she couldn't understand my sermon. She couldn't understand English. And a lot of folks that can understand English can't understand mine. And Mr. Garcia, I think, came, didn't he, and wanted a Christ. And after it's all over, we ask her why she came forward, and she couldn't understand the sermon. And she said, it looked so good. It looked so good. She couldn't understand what I said. She told the story how that one day she came to a funeral here. A little 4-year-old child, wasn't it? That boy died with leukemia. Her nephew. She came to her nephew's funeral, 4 years old, died with leukemia. And she said, when you cried and when you looked like you just looked so good, it just looked so good. And she said, while you're preaching this morning, it looked so good. Did you know, even if you can't speak the same language, everybody can understand a pat on the back. Everybody can understand a smile. Everybody can understand a touch of the arm. Everybody can understand a tear that rolls down the cheek, a tear of love and a tear of concern and a tear of burden, a tear of heartache. Everybody can understand that. It looks so good, she said. This morning I walked in to teach my Sunday school class, and one of the young college students handed me a note. And the note said, a few of us are having special prayer time this week for you, that God will help you. Oh, let me tell you, would God that everybody in the world could be baptized with old-fashioned Holy Ghost love one for the other and love of Christ in our hearts. I was thinking, and I'll close. I was thinking last night how much I love you. I love the little children who come to my office. And if a child in our church, fellows, makes bad grades, they have to come to the preacher. Most all of them do. And the parents just bring them. And I cry with them. And I hug them. And I live and die with them. And I was thinking how much I love the children. I go by the nursery night after night and day after day and look in the window there and pray God to bless those little kids that are in the nursery and help us to be what we ought to be. And always have the kind of church we have tonight for the sake of those kids. I love you, teenagers. As I told you in school the other day, many of you, I held you in my arms when you were 2 years, 2 and 3 years old. And I love you. God knows I do. And I want you to be the best that God can help you to be. I love the adults of this church. I was in Tokyo, Japan. It was noon. Dr. John Rice was preaching. I'd already preached that morning. Russell Anderson sitting beside me. All of a sudden, I began crying, and I couldn't control myself. And tears rolled down my cheeks, and Russell Anderson said, what's wrong, Dr. Hiles? And I said, I'll tell you after a while. It just dawned on me, it's 9 o'clock back home. And I was just thinking of how many little boys and girls are praying for God to bless their preacher right now. Right now. Right now. The greatest of these is love. I love you, senior citizens. You older people. God bless every one of you. I think about you often. As I fly across the country, I think about you. Many of you never get outside the house. I love you. I love you, deaf folks. One of the sweetest groups in this church, the deaf people. All across the country, people say to me, deaf people are very sensitive, hard to get along with. As far as I know, John Clark's the only one hard to get along with back there. And I love these people. Did you know, I never have a birthday without these folks bringing me a present and singing happy birthday in the sign language. Some of them off key, but in the sign language, singing happy birthday. And Christmas, Groundhog Day, doesn't matter what it is, they gave me a groundhog last Groundhog Day. And I wouldn't put it past them. But I love you deaf folks. I love you Spanish people. Amo usted. I thank God for you. I love the retarded people and these folks that work with them. I even love the mission men. all but chest. In 1959, we came to Hammond. If ever fell in love with the church, I love the Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas. All night long, the night before we left, I drove around Garland, Texas and cried. I thought I'd die. I thought I would die. We started the church. When I went there, I had 44 people the first Sunday. And it grew to be one of the great churches in Texas. And most of the folks I'd won to Christ, I had knocked on every door in the city of Garland with my own knuckles. I loved the place. As I left, I said, I'll never fall in love with the church again. Never. When I came here for the first 16 months, I wanted to push you away. I was afraid. I didn't want to get hurt again. I'd wake up in the night. I'd be dreaming about somebody in Garland in trouble. And they'd be going to have surgery the next day. And I'd wake up crying. I've got to get to them. I've got to get to them. I've got to get to them. They're my people. And I said, I'll never do it again. I'll never do it. I'll never love a church. I'll never fall in love again with a church. But after 16 months, I did it. And I love you. The greatest of these is love. Ask the question tonight. Hey, you got any bitterness in your heart? Huh? Anybody you hate? Huh? Anybody you'd like to get back at? Huh? Any desire for vengeance? Huh? Critical nature? How long has it been since you criticized some man of God? Huh? Anybody at school you won't speak to? Anybody at school you're mad at? Anybody in college? Mad at somebody else in college? A deacon here mad at another deacon? Huh? Anybody here have bitterness in your heart? Anybody here have hatred, malice, ill will toward anybody? The greatest of these is love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. The greatest of these is love. Have any malice, hatred, ill will, unkind feelings toward another? Get it out. Get it out. For years, for years, for years, I've tasted occasionally the awful, bitter taste of criticism. Folks would criticize me and I'd fight back. I can recall, God knows I'm sincere. I'm not perfect, but I'm sincere. I'm not a great preacher, but I'm sincere. And God knows it. He knows it. You'd ask Him tonight, He'll tell you. He knows it. And folks would criticize me, and I'd say, that's not true. I know I'm stubborn, and I know I think I'm the only one right, but I am sincere, and I love God, and I love sinners, and I love my people. And I used to sometimes get where I'd fight back, retaliate. And one day, somebody slipped me a little taste of forgiveness. And I tasted it. And like the sweetness of honey, it filled my soul. And from that day to this, I've never wanted to taste the garbage of vindication and hatred and retaliation again. I want to love those that hate me. I want to pray for those that despise. Right over here in East Chicago, Indiana, one day I was out soul winning. I never forget it. Knocked on the door. Lady came to the door. She had one of these chains on the door. Can't open it that far. Had a chain. Stuck her big nose through. Had a Pollock nose. And they're whopping big noses. And, has ski. We've got skiers all over this place up here. Ski on the end of it. And she said, I'm Brother Hiles, pastor of First Baptist Church. And she said, yes, I know who you are. I was at your church last Sunday, and I've just got three things to say to you. Oh, she was terrible. She said, your pianist played too fast. Your singer sang too fast. You preached too fast, and I couldn't get out fast enough. And then she said, and by the way, if all I've heard about you is true, you ain't much anyhow. And now what I wanted to do was take two ice picks, one for each eyeball, and let her have it. But what I did was, I said, lady, it's all true. What? I said, it's all true. And I said, there's a lot of stuff, crew, you don't know about, too. I said, the truth is, I'm a chief of sinners. I said, if you don't say amen when I say I'm the chief of sinners. You wait till I hit the pulpit before you say amen. I'll let you know when to say amen. And so I said, I'm the chief of sinners. And I said, lady, if you'll let me come in for a minute, I'd love to tell you some things bad about me you don't know about. Because I need your prayers. I need your help. I said, I'll just tell you some other things bad about me. And you'll really know a lot of bad then. Because I hate me worse than you do. But that time, tears were rolling down her cheeks. And she said, didn't mean to hurt your feelings, Mr. Hiles. And in 15 minutes, she'll say, she walked out here the next Sunday. You know, if I'd used those ice picks, I'd have had a hard time winning it. You know that? The love of Christ. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love vaunteth not itself. Love envieth not. Love is not puffed up. The greatest of these is love. Three words. Three words. So seldom used, but so often needed. Three words so seldom expressed, but so often craved. Three words so seldom given, but so often wanted. Three words. I love you. I love you. May those words be the expression of the hearts of God's people that call themselves members of First Baptist Church. And may on the eve of Pastor School 1973, the 10th annual Pastor School, may God help us to so love each other that the love of Christ shall spread from this place and spread around this great nation. Man stood up the other day to introduce me. I close with this. He said, Dr. Jack Hiles is here. He said, I've been to Dr. Hiles' church. I went to pastor school 1 year. And he said, I'd like to describe Dr. Hiles and his people this way. They have love. They have love. And I went to my room and got on my knees and said, dear God, make it so. Make it so. Anything you'll get out of your heart tonight? Huh? Huh? Ill will? Hurt feelings? Gossip? Critical nature? I mean about anybody. We have a standing rule here at Hiles Anderson College. No professor, our teacher, our student is allowed to criticize any man who believes and preaches the Word of God or any sister church that stands for the Word of God. We may not, they may hate us, we'll love them. They can slander us, we'll bless them. And we are not going to harbor bitterness, ill will, critical natures, and gossip in the halls of Hiles Anderson School. The greatest of these is love. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, teach us to love. May we walk with Him who is love until love shall be our portion. Help our people to love each other. Give me more love for my people. Give us love for a lost world. Give us love for a perishing nation. Give us love for those poor, poor little kids that don't even know how to behave in church that came this morning. Give us love for those little orphans and little ragamuffin kids that nobody else cares about. May the love of Christ fill our hearts, our lives, this pulpit and these pews and this church and this pastor's school. Thank you for faith. Thank you for hope. Thank you that the greatest of these is love. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. How's your love life tonight? Have you been critical of someone recently? Has there crept into your heart and mind and soul unkind thoughts and bitter feelings? Every eye is closed, no laughing back in the back. Has there? Has there? I wonder how many would say tonight, Brother Hiles, as I look inside my heart, I find some things that are not akin to love. I find a lack of love. I find something that shouldn't be there in my attitude toward my fellow man, toward lost people, toward church members, toward somebody. Brother Hiles, I need the prayers of you and the help of God tonight. Something in my heart, as I look inside my heart, I find something there that's not akin to love. Maybe I've been critical. Maybe I've been unkind. Maybe I've been retaliatory. Maybe I've been vindictive. Maybe I've had an evil feeling or hurt feeling. Brother Hiles, pray for me. I need the love, oh God knows tonight. I need a baptism of love. I confess my weakness and ask your prayers. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the building? All over the building. All over the building. Are there others? Our Heavenly Father, in some sweet way tonight, I pray for each of us. Oh, may we leave this building singing "Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior, Naught of This World's Delusive Goods. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine, let nothing between." May it be our song tonight as we leave. Bless these dear ones. Bless this preacher. Oh, God in heaven, deliver this preacher from an unkind spirit, from a critical nature and vindication and retaliation and gossip and criticism. Help this preacher to love the people of God and love the unsaved people. And may there be tonight a new breath of refreshing love sweep across this church. May people who hate us know we love them. May people that curse us find us blessing them. May people that speak evil of us find us praising the Lord and loving them. May people that would steal our cars or burn our buildings find us with the love of Christ. Bless our people. Our heads are bowed. You know what to do. The altar's open. If tonight you have a little mending of your love nets, you just come down the aisle and kneel here at the altar. You need not take my hand. You just come and tell God what you ought to tell Him. How about it, high school students? How about it, college students? I don't want any embarrassment of anybody. I don't want you tonight in front of this crowd to go to anybody and embarrass them. I just want you to come to God. And if you need to go to Him later on, that's up to you. But I want you tonight just to mend your love nets. If your love net's broken, just mend it tonight. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. If you need to come, you do it. If tonight you're here and you want to be saved, oh, God loves you and I love you and we want to tell you how to be saved.